After opening remarks that displayed the trademark Kennedy wit, the president turned serious, telling the publishers he wanted to talk about his and their common responsibilities in the face of common danger. The danger he referred to, of course, was the ongoing struggle with communism.
This deadly challenge imposes upon our society two requirements of direct concern, both to the press and to the president. Two requirements that may seem almost contradictory in tone, but which must be reconciled and fulfilled if we are to meet this national peril. I refer first to the need for far greater public information, and second, to the need for far greater official secrecy.
It was then that Kennedy uttered the paragraph about the word secrecy being repugnant in a free and open society, the one phrase from a lengthy and serious speech that has been grossly taken out of context. Consider the words that immediately follow that paragraph.
But I do ask every publisher, every editor, and every newsman in the nation to re-examine his own standards and to recognize the nature of our country's peril. In time of war, the government and the press have customarily joined in an effort based largely on self-discipline to prevent unauthorized disclosures to the enemy. In times of clear and present danger, the courts have held that even the privileged rights of the First Amendment must yield to the public's need for national security. Today, no war has been declared. And however fierce the struggle may be, it may never be declared in the traditional fashion. Our way of life is under attack. Those who make themselves our enemy are advancing around the globe. The survival of our friends is in danger. And yet no war has been declared. No borders have been crossed by marching troops. No missiles have been fired. If the press is awaiting a declaration of war, before it imposes the self-discipline of combat conditions, then I can only say that no war ever posed a greater threat to our security.
It certainly doesn't sound like Kennedy is warning there is too much secrecy in government. It sounds like he's complaining there isn't enough secrecy and would like the media to behave more like it did during World War II. For anyone to argue that one quote from this speech was a possible reason for the president's assassination is embarrassing. To paraphrase Kennedy, it seems his assassination has become a topic on which ignorance too often abounds and the truth is too rarely perceived. That perhaps applies to this next theory, that William Greer, the Secret Service agent driving Kennedy's limousine, fired the fatal headshot that killed the president. The theory can be found all over the internet, attached to videos of the Zapruder film that purport to show this happening. Of course, it does no such thing. The conspiracy theorists maintain that after Kennedy has been shot in the throat and has slumped toward his wife, Greer slows the car down, turns around, and using his left hand, fires a top-secret weapon that delivers the fatal shot. What viewers are seeing, of course, is the sun reflecting off fellow Secret Service agent Roy Kellerman's bald spot, which on the film appears as a cylinder-shaped light. The light appears on the screen at the exact moment the fatal headshot is fired, but then disappears, as Kellerman moves his head in reaction to the shot. Greer did come in for criticism for his actions in the moments of the assassination. Secret Service protocol called for the driver to accelerate and depart the scene as quickly as possible once it was established the motorcade was under fire. That didn't happen. The Zapruder film clearly shows that Greer turned around to look in the back seat to see what was happening and was looking backward when Kennedy suffered the fatal headshot. While that is subject to legitimate criticism, the claim that the agent actually fired the shot that killed the president is sheer lunacy. And from a logistical standpoint, one has to ask, what kind of conspiracy would assign the man driving the president's car to also shoot the president? Wouldn't he already have enough to do? Indeed, one is tempted to again quote President Kennedy, "We're heading into nut country now," as we discuss a final theory that it was extraterrestrials who arranged the assassination. Yes, little green men. Granted, no one has been brave enough to publish a book claiming that aliens were behind the assassination, but the idea is all over the internet. In 1963, President John Kennedy was ready to expose to the world a secret that the government guarded since 1947, that an alien craft really did crash land in Roswell, New Mexico, and the military harvested and reverse-engineered the alien technology recovered to leapfrog the world as a superpower, according to one of dozens of such alien conspiracy sites. Most don't bother to cite evidence for their claims, except for the fact that rapid 20th century advances in technology must be due to other world cooperation. Some UFO researchers, however, have lent credence to these theories by suggesting a memo Kennedy wrote 10 days before his death could have led to his assassination. In the memo, Kennedy instructs CIA Director John McCone to arrange a program with NASA to share information about UFO sightings with the Soviet Union. It was part of a proposed joint space program with the Soviet Union that was apparently designed to reassure the Russians that UFOs being sighted over the USSR were not from the US. It is important that we make a clear distinction between known and unknown objects in the event the Soviets try to mistake our extended cooperation as a cover for intelligence gathering of their defense and space programs, the memo states. While Kennedy's acknowledgement that unexplained UFO sightings were occurring and could be a complicating factor in superpower relations is an interesting fact in its own right, it seems far-fetched to try to connect it to the assassination. But maybe some of the wilder theories are understandable, considering there do seem to be a lot of very odd circumstances surrounding the events of November 22, 1963.